أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity to sit together and to think about our religion and to think about future of humanity as explained in the Holy Quran. To thank Allah for this blessing and with intention of getting more opportunities to understand our religion and to think about Imam al-Asr alayhi salatu wa salam sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa anjil faradam. Yesterday and the day before we talked about Holy Quran and how to get benefit from Holy Quran, how to get guidance from Holy Quran, and we recommended a few points regarding the process of getting benefit from the Holy Book. I'm sure if someone is convinced that he or she has to do something, then a practical step should have started. So if, na'uzubillah, you are not reciting Holy Quran before these two lectures and you started reciting, it means that now you are moving. And I can tell you, if you could not start in these 2 days, despite listening to these two lectures, then I doubt will you move or not. So I need a few practical steps. As per my understanding, knowledge makes more burden for us in the day after, in the life hereafter. So if you have knowledge and you could not move accordingly, then it will raise your questions. Raise for the questions you have to answer at the day of judgment. So in my opinion, more you have knowledge, more you should practice. And if you can't practice, then you are in the danger of losing knowledge. There is a tradition from our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad al-Alim. He says, act whatever you know, and Allah will teach you whatever you don't know. Act whatever you know. You know something, and you know a lot. I think as being followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, you participate in majalis, you participate in different gatherings, and you hear and you listen to different ulama, and with this opportunity you get a lot of knowledge. So what Imam is saying, he says, act upon whatever you have learned, and Allah will teach you whatever you have not learned. So this is a very simple process of getting more knowledge. If you act upon your knowledge, you will get more knowledge. Now what is the meaning, reverse meaning of this tradition? This is a solid tradition. It is from Usul al-Kafi and reliable one. The reverse meaning says, if you don't act upon whatever you have learned, you will lose whatever you have learned. If you act upon whatever you have learned, you will get the knowledge of whatever you have not learned. But if you don't act, na'uzubillah, then you are in the danger of losing whatever you already had. So more you act upon your knowledge, your knowledge will increase. But na'uzubillah, if you don't act upon your knowledge, na'uzubillah, you will lose whatever you have learned. And this is how we can explain the declining level of knowledge in our societies. Of course we can notice that in Pakistan and in different societies, our knowledge, our understanding about religion is declining. So why it is declining when we have more masajid, we have more majalis, we have more gatherings, we have more books? Initially there were few books in English, but now you know hundreds of books been translated into English. and a publisher of English books, Islamic English books, and he told me he has 3,500 titles in his publication. So you have 3,500 titles at least with one publisher. So you have plenty of books to read. So with plenty of books you can read, you have internet, you have everything growing actually. But if you see the standard or level of knowledge is not increasing accordingly, then how I should interpret that? The only thing which comes into my mind is action upon the knowledge and practice of whatever you have learned. So practice whatever you have learned and Allah will give you more knowledge. And this is the way we should follow. So if you learn something about Holy Quran, and na'uzu billah ta'ala, it could not change your practice regarding Holy Quran, then it's not a good news. It gives us the news that this gathering is going to lose the knowledge about Holy Quran. So this is not good. You have to change your practice, you have to increase your attachment with the Holy Quran, you have to increase your understanding of the Holy Quran, and this way inshallah we will be more blessed, we will have more knowledge, and we will have more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam. Now, following the discussion, we ended on the glad tiding of reappearance of our Imam in the Holy Quran. In Surah Qasas, we recited this holy verse, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّمُنَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُزْعَفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. So this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a promise, not only a promise, a strong appearance, a strong expression of will from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, we have intended to do this. And can anyone create any hindrance in front of what Allah has promised to do? No one. La yukhlifu Allahu wa'ada. He never betrays his promises. So he has promised and he says that I have intended to do this. So no one can stop him. What is his intention? He says that the oppressed people of this earth will be made leaders and they will guide the nations. So we talked about it, how it is going to happen. This is not the first prediction from Holy Quran. It predicted and it appeared as it predicted regarding the victory by Roman Empire on Persia, and we said that happened. But how it happened? Can we extract a few rules from this event which happened in the history? And my main point is for today is, what are the rules of waiting for something in religion? Allah has invited us, promised us that I'm going to do this, I'm waiting for this. And traditions of Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in tells us that waiting, this wait, you are waiting for something which Allah has promised, is afdalul ibadah. Now what sort of ibadah is that? Waiting for something is ibadah. So I will try to explain how this is going to happen and why waiting for something can be an ibadah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. As we explained in the case of victory of Roman Empire over Persia, that it never happened through miracles. It happened through routines of life. So Allah promised that Roman Empire will get victory over Persia. Had it happened with the help of angels coming down, and Roman, for example, soldiers were sitting somewhere and angels were fighting Persia and they conquered Persia and they said, okay, what happened? This happened, what Holy Quran predicted? No. It never happened this way. So what happened? Roman empires, after a few years, they fought against Persia and they got victory through the same channel which used to happen at that time. Now, getting benefit from this event is reappearance of Imam and oppressed people of earth become leaders of earth. Is this going to happen through miracles? For example, Imam will reappear, Mu'mineen will gather around Imam, and then miracles after miracles will happen. A small group of Mu'mineen will get victory through miracles, and all the oppressed people will become leader. We know it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this way. Why? If it had to happen this way, then why Allah kept us waiting for hundreds of years? Miracles could happen at that time. Why, if eventually the question will go deeper, then why ghaibat happened then? Why Allah never did that at, for example, 1800 years ago, when our 12th Imam Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Askari came to the earth, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He went into ghaibah because he never had enough people to protect him, according to one of the traditions. لِقِلَّةِ ansar. He never had companions. If it had to happen through miracles, then ghaibah should not have happened. If Imam never, Imam was short of companions, then there could be thousands of angels pouring in and could have helped him. And Imam could have achieved his leadership on the earth. But if you know, it never happens. So what's going to happen now? Imam will come, a group of Mu'mineen will come, they will assist Imam, they will help Imam, but all the difficulties of life, all the routines of life will be followed. And I can give you an example from history which can help us in understanding this issue. And there are a lot of topics regarding 12th Imam reappearance. Is it spiritual, or is it through miracles, or how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, when it happens, what will be the fate or destiny of the universe? Are we going back to the Stone Age to see the Imam fighting with sword, or we are going to have an advanced technology in which we don't know what's happening? But there are a lot of topics. But just to get to the point, I will give you an example. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Just to have an idea, if I tell you that a month from now, Imam will come, can you believe it? So what should be the problem? You may say that I can't see the change. I cannot see the companions. If I tell you a month later, after a month, Imam is going to come. And for example, in the coming Muharram, that event is going to happen, you will tell me that I can believe this, but I can't see the companions. I cannot see the universe prepared for Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, because there are a lot of events that had to happen. But just take an example as the case of our Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. If you were in Mecca 1400 years ago, if you were in Mecca, and the Holy Prophet went up to a hill and he said, I am the Prophet, after confessions from them, he said, قُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِهُ. At that day, if you were in Mecca a night before that day, and if someone had told you that tomorrow the last Prophet, which is going to change the destiny of humanity, and all Arabia will surrender in front of him, is going to come tomorrow, could you believe that? What would have been your reaction? You could have told him, whoever was going to give you the glad tiding or the prediction, that how can this Holy Prophet come in Mecca? I cannot see any companion. So what you are looking at that night, you could see the Holy Kaaba filled with idols, 360 idols. Who was the leader in Mecca? Pagans were leaders of Mecca. Were they powerful or weak? They were strong enough to protect Mecca. Was society ready to accept the Holy Prophet? No, it was not ready. Could you see Mu'mineen, Muttaqeen in Mecca at that time? You could never see. So if a night before someone could have told you that tomorrow morning a holy prophet is going to come and he is going to change the destiny of humanity, you would have raised same questions which people will raise today if I tell them that Imam is going to come next year. Even if I tell you Imam is going to come in next 5 years, you will raise the same question. And I will raise the same question. So, what happened at that time? That was very strange, but it happened. It is part of history, not part of, theories and ideologies. What history tells us? The Holy Prophet came, he announced, no one helped him. But a few people gathered around him, and they were coming from different origins. If I just look at the origins of companions, I'm surprised, really surprised. Now, getting benefit from the same example, if today Imam appears, who is going to help Imam? At that time, though it's not a good match, it's not a good, you see, qiyas, maybe qiyas just, but at that time, Jews were announcing that a prophet is going to come and we are going to help that prophet and he will be our prophet. That was the claim by Jews. Had they helped the Holy Prophet? Never. Who fought the Holy Prophet? They fought. And who helped the Holy Prophet? Those who were not claiming anything. Those who were not claiming anything. And how it happened? The Holy Prophet went to the hill and he announced and he came back. No one appreciated the Holy Prophet and he was somehow depressed and he came to his wife and it was not good. For 13 years the Holy Prophet remained there but people never accepted him. Who helped the Holy Prophet? A person was living in forest, in jungle. And he came to city and he said, This Muhammad is my nephew. From today, I will help him. That's it. The powerful Amir Hamza. He said, I will help him. He was not present at that time in Makkah. He was in jungle. He was in forest. He had escaped from the corrupt and destructive civilization of Makkah. He was not living even in cities. But when he heard that my nephew declared that thing and he's a good person, he's always right, he came to Makkah and he said, he's my nephew, I'm going to protect him. Is there anyone who is going to come against in front of me? They were silent. This is one of them. And where the others came from? A person who was tortured, he was chained, he was deprived of everything, never had any social status. And he said, I'm going to believe this person. I'm going to help him. And people said, you are nothing. You are absolutely ignored. How you are going to help him? He said, no, I will do this. Tortured again, up to the last moment of his life, but he kept his cool and he said, no, I'm going to help this person. And this was Bilal. So he came from nowhere. He was not famous. And then another person who was living in desert, his tribe was famous for robberies and looting, and he came to Makkah and he said, this person is the righteous person I have ever seen, and I'm going to help this person. And do you think that person was famous in Arabia? No. Absolutely nameless. And he came to Makkah and said, though I don't have my tribe here, but I'm going to help this person. And this was the case of Hazrat Abu Zar Ghafari. Then another person, he was in a church, many hundred kilometers away from Holy Prophet. He was in a church and he heard and he moved and he came to the Prophet and said, I'm going to help you. And this was Salman Farsi. So that happened 1400 years back. Now what's going to happen now? Do you expect that you would be able to name the companions of Imam before reappearance of Imam? It never happened that time. All of them were unknown persons. Amir Hamza, Salman Farsi, Abu Zar Ghaffari, Bilal Habashi, Ammar Yasir, all of them were unknown. They were not famous of their societies. But they helped. And their help was crucial. So this is what's going to happen now, I think. Imam will reappear on a certain time, which in our opinions will not be the right time, I think. When we will hear, and I pray to Allah that this should not be the case with us. But for most of the people, when they will hear that Imam has appeared, they will say, this is not the right time for him to come. They will say, according to the tradition, they will say, this is not the right time for him to come. There is no one to help him. Why they were saying that? Because they are not the guys who are going to help Imam. Imam have different friends, different companions. They will come from different origins. And in my humble opinion, I will say, that person might be someone now living in the darkest parts of our society. And he will come and help Imam. Just like Abu Zar Ghaffari. That person might be the weakest person of our society. Just like Bilal Habashi. That person might be one of the rebellions of our society. Just like Amir Hamza. And they will come together and they will help our Imam, inshaAllah. May Allah bless us and may Allah give us the tawfiq to help our Imam, inshaAllah ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farj. So this might be the case which we are going to see. No change through miracles. It's absolutely in routine. But if I tell you and I claim that there is no miracle, it never means that there is no help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is always Nasru min Allah wa Fathun Qareeb. So if he comes and he has all the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though it will not going to happen with miracles, but his personality and the personality of his companion, that will create miracle. That is going to create miracle. And we have seen a few of them in our short life we are living here. We could not even think of a group of people defeating one of the strongest armies of the world. And we saw that. We could not think that a country which has more than 400 think tanks giving them policies, giving them everything, could be so helpless in front of a group of people. And we have seen that. We don't need miracles. We need taqwa. We don't need miracles. We need unity. We need belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the point of preparation. This is the point of preparation. I could never find any tradition which seriously says that you have to bring together weapons for your Imam to help. I could not see that. I could not see any tradition which will command you to prepare a treasure for your Imam and help him with your treasure. Unfortunately, this is what people are learning. I don't know where they are learning from. I went to a country in Africa, and there was a community, a strong Shia community. They were blessed with financial resources. Might not be the blessing, but they had a lot of financial resources, which I could never find in America, any single center having that type of financial resources. And that was in Africa. And I asked that person, what do you do with these resources you have in your hand? I tell you, I could not find any single center in America having that resources. What he said? He said, we collect all that money and we are keeping that money in bank for our Imam to help. I said, are you serious? Are you really serious? He said, yes, I'm serious. Our bank balance is that and that, this and that. I said, you have this bank balance, you are living in Africa, and you have an orphanage beside your center, and they were in extreme poverty, and you telling me that you have kept all that money just You will give that money to your imam to help? Are you serious? He said, yes, I'm serious. Now, the president of the community was telling me this thing. It's not a single person, you see, in the corner or isolated person. So, this is practically what's happening. And this was unimaginable for me if I had not heard it from that person, you see. Imam don't need that treasure which was gathered there by depriving orphans of the society. Never this treasure is going to help Imam. As I told you yesterday, stories of the Holy Quran are a wonderful source of lessons. Now you see, in the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel had gold from an ornament from the society where they had escaped from. They had gold. What they did with that gold, they molded, they prepared a statue of a cow, and they started doing sajda against that what they have created by themselves. And when Hazrat Musa came back from Jabal, and he said, "What are you doing?" And he put that statue into fire, and all that gold was waste. Now, what I learned from that tradition, from that event, that if you have wealth from illegal resources, this will never going to help Hujjatullah. No Hujjat Khuda can get benefit from illegal money, from financial resources coming from illegal resources. So that was wasted. And that was actually a source of trouble for Hujjatullah at that time. So I think any person who has gathered a lot of money by depriving orphans, by depriving oppressed people, and by depriving those who have the right on that wealth, and he thinks that that wealth is going to help Imam, it will never going to help Imam. It will be a hurdle in the way of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So wealth alone cannot help Imam, though it might be needed, but only wealth is not going to help Imam. Your weapon, your power is not going to help Imam. What is going to help Imam? Just pay attention over his objective, and you can understand, I can understand what is going to help Imam. A single tradition accepted by all sects of Islam, even those who deny that, na'uzubillah, they deny that Imam is going to come, even accepted by that sect. What is the tradition? It says, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْتًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِعَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. A very simple tradition. He will fill this earth with justice as it would have been filled by injustice. This is the objective. Single line objective. Justice has to prevail. Now, in my course of study, I was surprised why justice has that prime importance for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He sent hundreds of thousands of prophets, and he saw Muslims sacrificing their life, Aimathar alayhi salam sacrificing their life, and their companions sacrificing, and a weight which has lasted for 1100 years. And after all these sacrifices and weight, what we are going to achieve? Justice in society. What is the prime value? Why justice is so much valued in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why He needed that? So what came to my mind, that actually we have to grow ourselves, we have to develop ourselves, and we are like a seed which can become a tree if it is developed, every human being. Now, as you know, a seed needs certain conditions to develop, as far as the earth and water and light and air, everything. And when everything is provided, the seed becomes a tree. The tree gives you leaves and fruit and shade and everything which is in the tree. Same like that seed we are. We need justice in society to develop ourselves. Very few people could fight justice, injustice of the society to develop themselves. People like Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, they don't need justice in society. They can develop themselves in even extreme injustice, just like the case of Yazid. They can develop themselves even in the society where Yazid was a ruler. And a few companions of Imam could do that, but not general humanity. They need justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to have justice in society, to let majority of human being develop themselves on the path which Allah has given us. And that's why justice is important. Imam is going to come and he's going to prevail justice. Now, who is going to help Imam? A person whose life is filled in with injustice, can he help Imam who is going to create justice? Can injustice create justice? This is paradoxical, I think, controversial. It contradicts. You cannot create injustice from injustice. You have to have justice to create justice. And that's why what we are waiting for. We need justice, and not justice through miracles. We need justice through natural flow of society. And this natural flow of society need a few people filled with justice to create justice. And that part of this whole process is what we are waiting for. 313 companions filled with justice. They can help Imam to create justice. Now, can I help my Imam? This is the basic question. You know, we have no doubt that Imam is going to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us. The Holy Prophet promised us. 11 Ma'asumin alayhi salam, all of them promised us. We have no doubt that he is going to be the leader of humanity. Same argument. Where is our question? Our question is where I will be sitting at that time. There is no doubt he is going to come. There is no doubt he is going to win. There is a doubt regarding my place. Which camp I would have been sitting. And how can I ensure that I would be sitting in the right camp? Create justice in yourself, and it will ensure that you will be in the right camp. Now, how can we ensure that we are doing justice and we are on the right path? I want to make it brief so we can have question and answer session before Maghrib, inshaAllah. So just going to the ends, Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajib. Now getting benefit from the Holy Quran again. After 11 qasm, wa shamsi wa duhaha wal qamari idha talaha, and this and that, wa nafsin wa ma sawaha, it says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Your piousness and whatever against piousness has been planted in your soul. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. It has been ilham. Allah has done ilham on you. He has revealed it on you. Whatever is your piousness and whatever the way against piousness. You know that. The Holy Quran, after so many qasm, says, we have revealed it to humanity. To what is the benefit? Then it says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. This is the claim. This is the destiny. Whoever purifies will get success. And as I heard that, whoever purifies gets success, I can ask Allah, do I have enough instrument to purify myself? And just to avoid that question, Allah said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Don't raise this question. Because I have already revealed in yourself what is piousness and what is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, if it has been revealed, how can I learn from that revelation? Just think about yourself. You can get that. So, I'm preparing myself for my Imam. How can I prepare myself? Do justice. How can I learn, am I doing justice or not? Think about yourself. Go deep into the heart, into your soul. Ask yourself, whatever I am doing, is this the right thing which I have to do? I'm sure you will get the answer. Even if you don't know Surah Al-Kahfi, even if you don't know Tafasir Quran, even if you don't know traditions of the Holy Prophet, and we have to learn all of them, even if you don't know, just ask yourself, right or wrong, you will get an answer. And do accordingly. And I learned something from a person who was from same states. He came to Qom and he was an enlightened person. And he accepted Islam and then Shia, became Shia, and he came to Qom and he was learning there. I cannot remember his name, it was long ago. A friend of mine went to him and said, why you came here? Why you became Muslim? He said, I'm inspired by the personality of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala. So my friend asked him that, what is your plan now? So you were inspired. Okay, what's your plan now? He said, I want to become Imam Hussein. He said, it's a big demand. You want to become Imam Hussein? How can you do that after 1400 years? And you know nothing about Imam Hussein. He said, yes, I don't know anything about Imam Hussein. I have just heard what he did in history. So what is your plan for becoming a person like Imam Hussein? He said, a very simple plan. Whenever I have to decide, I ask myself. This is very crucial, very important. Whenever I have to decide, I ask myself, if Imam Hussein was in my position, what he would have done? What would have been his decision? And I do accordingly. And this way, I am sure, day by day, I am becoming closer to Imam Hussein. I'm becoming closer. Now, this is a big demand. It's a big objective. Huge. But as far as my claim, or my desire, or my wish to become a companion of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, can I have this rule for my own life? That whenever I have to decide anything, I will do as a companion of Imam should do. Can I do this? I think we have to do. Though I cannot claim that I do it always, but this is what we have to do if we want to become companion of Imam. So we have in our imimagination, a vague imagination, a vague concept of companion of Imam, but that is enough. With that vague concept and whatever you have been revealed in your nafs, bring them together. And always ask yourself a simple question. In this condition and at that junction of life, if a companion of Imam was here, what he would have done? So you have to call someone and you have to tell him something. Just wait and ask yourself, if you were companion of Imam, what would have been your reaction? Would you let yourself do that? Or you have to keep your patience? Ask yourself, you want to go for an agreement, for a business, and you are going to do something, and you know the consequences. Ask yourself, if a companion of Imam was here, what would have been his reaction? So this is a very simple way. And I think you can adopt that in not in big questions and big decisions, even in smaller decisions, very small decisions. So you are in a supermarket, you want to buy something, and ask yourself, if a companion of Imam buy that thing, is it going to please his Imam? Or Imam is not going to be happy on this purchase? It's a very simple question. So I think we have to do something. These theoretical discussions are not good if we don't practice them. So we spend 2 days on Holy Quran, and we spend a day just talking about a few points regarding our Imam. Can it help bring a change in our practice? If it can help, then it is good. And if it cannot, then we just did something for sawab and that will end. We have to change. What change you can get from these 3 days, because this is my final day here in this trip, and I want to get a few practical conclusions from these 3 days. So I will summarize them, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us in changing positively in our behavior. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil. First, we talk about Holy Quran, and we said we have to give time to the Holy Quran, either in the morning, which is good. I said an asset, we need assets before reciting Holy Quran, and the asset should be our knowledge, our piety, our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and take this book as the living book, not a silent, non-living book. Take this book as a living book. So you can communicate and you can get answer from Holy Quran in a particular way if you pay attention. And then we talk about different styles of teachings in the Holy Quran. We said it has stories, it has examples, it has predictions, it has commands, and it has definitions, which this is what we talked about yesterday. And today we talked about our Imam, and I said that you can't predict where his companion would come from. They can come from different origins. I don't think they would have been identified before his appearance. And I said that the best way to bring ourselves closer to our Imam is to change our behavior accordingly, going towards justice, moving from injustice. And this is very simple. I told you, and just to give the definition of justice, justice as it has been explained by our Imam Amir Mumnin alayhi salatu wa salam, sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Just to give you an example, Imam said, Al-Adl waz'u shay fi mawd'i, is to place everything in its place. Now, can I ask you, is this justice to keep this tasbih here? No, it's not justice. Injustice in its capacity. Now, is this justice to keep this bottle here? Or this Holy Quran in this way? No, it could have been better if that way. Okay? So pay attention to smaller things. You can create a big change. This is what I have learned in my life. Always pay attention on smaller things. And you can create a difference. Now, I don't know the cloth which is on the cover on the, of the table. Is it plain, straight, or it is, you see, in disorder? I sometimes pay attention to these small things. I want to learn how to create order from disorder. This is how you can create justice in your society. This is how you can create justice. Create order from disorder. This is wonderful, though not very practical. But when Aristotle wanted to talk about politicians, he said, politicians, and Plato also, they said, politicians should learn how to create statues from a simple stone. And I'm not saying this practical. But they said, politicians should learn. Why? What is the use of politician learning sculpture from stones or statues from stone? He said, they should learn that how a raw material can be changed into a valued piece of art. They should learn that. They should learn how mob should be turned into a civilized society. It's into civilized society. And just to give it a lighter mood, I think barber is a very good example of creating order from disorder. Yes, a very good example. he creates order from disorder in his capacity. So please pay attention to smaller things in your life and remove injustice from your life first. Remove injustice from your life. Wealth should have a place in your society. Keep it in its place. Your desires should have a place in your life. Keep it at its own place. And obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have a place in your life. Communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have a place in your life. وَضْءُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَوْضِعِ. Human rights, parents' rights, strangers' rights, rights for everyone, everything should be placed on its place. wad ushay fi mawdi'. And then you can expect that, yes, I'm moving towards the right direction. So everything should be dealt with justice. Your dressing, your lifestyle, your wishes, your desires, your objectives, have justice in your life. Then you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ajal, al-ajal. Without that, what's the use? If he comes earlier and I was not ready, what's the use? Na'uzu billah ta'ala. And if he comes late and I was ready, have I lost anything? So there is no use just reciting al-ajal, al-ajal without having meaning. Move with justice. And what gives me pleasure, what gives me satisfaction? It's now 31 years that I became a student of religious studies. What gives me inspiration? I get inspiration from this fact that if I was ready and I died, I was successful. This gives me inspiration. I'm not waiting in the sense that I'm going to lose if the wait goes for years and years. No, I'm not going to lose anything. Even if I died, I've not lost anything. So this is very good. You are in a win-win condition. You're not going to lose anything. If he comes early, this is what I'm looking for. And if he comes late, in my sense is late, though it's not late, but I've not lost anything. If I prepared myself. And one more thing and final thing. Allahu Kareemun. And his representative on earth, Hujjatullah, is also Kareem. They're not harsh. If you move towards them, they pick your hand. It is not wealth. It is not world. You know, wealth is not loyal to anyone. You work for 30 years for wealth and you can lose it in one night. This world is not loyal to anyone. Betrayed for many times. And that's why divorced by the Imam. It will never be loyal to anyone. So I work, for example, I worked 30 years for my life getting wealth, and it will betray in a night and will go apart. If I work 30 years for popularity, I can be defamed by a single event. But what about Imam? If even for 30 seconds I work for my Imam, he will never leave me. He will never let me down. So why should we worry? So this is the reality. If we chase world, it's not loyal. If we chase wealth, it's not loyal. But if you follow our Imam, you have everything. You have been protected. You have been kept, always protected. So have belief, have firm faith, move ahead, and you have all the promises and tidings with yourself, inshallah. With the prayer of his reappearance, and with the prayer that inshallah, may Allah bless us to be his companion, to be with him, and to sacrifice our life in his cause. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We have a few minutes, around 11 minutes before Maghrib. So if you have any question or point to say, or suggestion, please come forward. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. صلى على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. This is the tough part. Yeah. Okay. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. If I have time, I will explain another point. And if you have question, we will follow your question. So if you don't have question, I'm not going to waste this time, and I will explain another point. Are we going to go backward in as far as technology? Are we going to see the world moving backward because our Imam is going to come? Or we have to move forward even as far as technology, because our Imam is going to come. Now, in my discussion, I said, wait for something, it has rules. If you wait for something, Allah has for many times tested different nations by wait. For example, people were waiting for Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, people were waiting for Prophet, then we are waiting for our Imam. So what are the general rules of waiting? Has any time in the history Hujjatullah, Imam or Nabi, has caused any change or negative change in technology? Whenever a prophet comes, technology moves ahead and it goes forward. It never came back. So when Hazrat Musa came, has the world gone back to the backward technology? When Prophet came, has the world gone back? No, never. It always developed. It always developed. This is the course. So we never had humanity going back to something because a prophet is here. No, always these prophets, these Hujjatullah, Salawatullah alayhim, they always made people, humanity, advancing towards the future, to their future. So how can I imagine our Imam will come and he is the one being waited for thousands of years by all the prophets and Aima Athar alayhim salam. And when he comes, we will go backward and we will have inferior technology in front of us. I can't accept this. It never happened. It always moved forward. So in my opinion, when Imam will come, we are not going back to the Stone Age or somewhere else. We will always advance. Though mode of technology can be changed. This technology has so many problems for us. We know we destructed our planet by this technology. We know what we are losing now due to that technology. Maybe our Imam will come and we will have a superior technology which will not give us that harm which we have received in last 70 or 100 years. But if you tell me that we are going backward, I can't accept this. This is against history. So, brother, you asking something?
Yes.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Or they enable us to hurt each other even more.
Yeah, yeah.
So if Imam is to spread justice in the world, a lot of these technologies are anti-justice.
Yeah, yeah. So this technology should be moved forward by superior technology, not by inferior technology. So this is my opinion, that when Imam will come, we will have better technology than this one, which will never have this type of, you see, harms and deficits what we are facing now. But I cannot accept that when Imam will come, we would have been gone back to Stone Ages and we were fighting again like people living in the cave. No, it's not going to happen. Yes. Yeah.
Or learn archery or things of that nature.
Yeah. I think even if you learn these things, you're not going to lose anything. Because these are skills which are needed even now. The people do that for the sake of their physical fitness and this and that. But in my opinion, traditions of prophets and verses of Holy Quran have universal meanings in themselves. So swimming is acceptable because water is everywhere and you have to swim. But riding can be said as riding anything. Riding can be horse, can be an aeroplane, can be a bus or a car. Whatever is in routine, utilized in routine in your society. So if camels are being used, you have to learn how to ride a camel. If horse were being used, you have to learn that. And accordingly, and if you ask me what you will do, I will learn both. I will learn both. So I will learn archery because it has been recommended, but I will also learn firearms because this is being used now. I will try to learn how to ride a horse because it has been said, but I will also learn how to drive because this is needed here. So this way we can get benefit from both. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil Fardim. Last point before we come to the conclusion inshallah, is a link with Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. These theoretical discussions are very good, but you need a spiritual link with Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't leave that. You cannot be all philosopher and going to heaven. You have to do something. You have to raise your spirituality. So with these theoretical discussions, which are very good and which can help us understand a few realities of life, but you have to have link with Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. How can you create link with Imam alayhi salam? Just keep thinking about Imam. Keep thinking. And I am sure if someone gives priority to the Imam, to the existence of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he will by himself understand where to go. So I have seen people who had no background of a ziyara, and all of a sudden they started reciting that ziyara. And if you ask them, why you recited that ziyara? You had no background of that ziyara. They said, we were appointed to recite that. And that was Ziyarat Ali Yasin. This is good. You can choose that ziyara for recitation if daily possible for you. If it is possible for you to recite it daily, otherwise keep it weekly, for example, on Fridays. And you can have many du'as and supplications and du'a'ul ahad and this and that. But the least is du'a'ul faraj, Allahumma kulli waliyyaka al-hujjat ibn al-hasan, salawatullah alayhi. And I remember once Ayatollah Behzad was asked, when Imam is going to come? He said, when everyone will be praying for Imam. He said, what prayer? He said, the same du'a, du'a'ul faraj. He said, that prayer would be recited everywhere. And I myself, in my 30, 40 years of practical life, I have seen places where there was no chance that people will recite that dua, and I'm seeing myself how people are changing. So I can assure you one thing in the last moment. I'm following the whole concept of reappearance of our Imam for many years, for at least 25, 27 years. And during that 27 years, I never felt that we are going back. I always felt that we are going in the right direction. And particularly last 5 years were strange, really strange. During last 4-5 years, a chain of event was very quick, very rapid. It changed quickly. And the whole scenario was very much changed now. And always moving in the right direction, always moving in the right direction. So as per my opinion, I'm very hopeful. If I lived a natural life, if I could live a natural life, I think I should see him. I think. But it can be very optimistic to say we cannot define the time, we cannot define the age even. I told you that I think this way. What if I could not see him and I died? I'm not going to lose anything. If I was ready, I'm not going to lose anything. So we are servants. We cannot command our master when to come. We are servants. Wait till he come. And if we died waiting for him, it's good. We are blessed. Inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.